7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on a Friday night. How you doing? Huh? Is it getting crazy where you live? Ah, my goodness. Let me give you a message from AskMe before we get too far into the program. That's the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. We all know too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Car, meet brick wall. Apologies and favors for big oil and Wall Street schemes to privatize Social Security and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for our teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get close to November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. Huh? That's true. You know that's true. I'm no longer a Democrat, capital D. I certainly do believe in democratic socialism, but I will vote the person. We'll see what happens. I hope you do vote this year for somebody. I mean, or not. Whatever you want to do. Jesus, why are you asking me? So Elizabeth Warren now is the de facto head of the agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And even though she didn't go through the confirmation process, and there's a reason for that. You know, maybe Obama is starting to figure things out just a little bit, you think? Huh? We have a lot of stuff to cover. I talked about Warren last night, and of course today the right-wing lunatics started their attacks on her. But that's okay. That's fine. That's the way it should be. Jeff, I got a couple emails here I want to share with you. Oh, we're going to take some calls. Matter of fact, Kathy, open the lines now. 877-996-2556. Kathy said to me last night, you know you haven't taken one phone call all week. I said, no, I wasn't aware. All right, so she made me aware. So we're going to do phone calls. And so take advantage of it, 877-996-2556. But she is going to be a little bit tough tonight so on her when she answers your call to make sure, first of all, you have a good phone connection. If you don't have a good phone connection, she'll tell you, and we're not going to put you on the air, okay? Just can't do that. So, but if you want to say something about all the stuff that's going on, okay, we'll do it tonight. Dear Mike, every time I see the dynamically dumb duo of Palin and Beck and their Fox-funded teabag movement, I find it eerily similar to a group back in the 80s called the PTL Club, led by Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Think about it. The blubbering for sympathy, the expensive wardrobe, scaring the crap out of people for money, and using a baseless hybrid of politics and religion as their foundation. They're both the same. The only difference is that Tammy Faye never had that permanent deer-in-the-headlights look as Palin. Plus, we all know the story of how PTL ended and how. I may be overly enthusiastic, but a similar well-deserved fate awaits these two idiots. The whole teabagger movement will fall once a major scandal erupts, gold line, causing the Beck-Palin duo to be thrown under the bus by their Republican puppet masters. It'll be hilarious when Beck whimpers all the way from the courthouse to the paddy wagon. Hopefully, someone will yell out during that historic event, "Where's your 8-year-old toothless slave owner now, you nut job?" I don't know what that means. All that will be left in this aftermath will be a bunch of old white teabaggers with empty wallets. You'd think they would have learned their lesson. The first, second, third, hell, maybe fourth time around. But it's really hard to change the minds of people who were raised on this whole anti-communist paranoia of the 50s, which they were fanatic about and or had it beaten upon them by their parents. Sincerely, Jeff. You think these teabag types are just getting more and more and more and more and more bizarre. I mean, it's beyond comedic and into seriously in need of medication. It really is. Park writes in, Mike, I grew up at a small farm in Wisconsin. When my brother went to Minnesota to law school and I went to Madison for undergrad, my parents sold our land and moved to Woodbury, Minnesota, probably for the warmer climate. They wanted to go from minus 22 degrees to minus 11. They were good, honest people who wouldn't tolerate us lying or swearing loud enough to be heard by anyone outside the family. Now my mom is gone, but my dad still lives in Woodbury. I was thinking about all this because Michelle Bachmann, who is my dad's congresswoman, was on TV today saying that Nancy Pelosi drinks thousands of dollars of government liquor while she's traveling on the military planes. Turns out that Nancy Pelosi doesn't even drink. We asked my dad last August when we were visiting him if he was going to vote for Bachmann. He looked down and shook his head and said, F no! That is the lyingest genie woman I've ever seen. I was so proud he finally learned to swear. Park. Yeah, Bachmann was all over the place at this values village or values thingy that the crazy religious fanatic Republican teabaggers all attend. What is it, yearly? Oh, my God. I was listening to some clips on Overman's program, clips of the former Arkansas governor. What the hell's his name? Oh, don't do this to me, brain. Please don't do this to me. Well, it'll come in a second. But I was listening to this guy, and I mean, the most outrageous stuff I've ever heard. And then Bachmann, and then this freakish Barbie doll looking woman from Delaware. Where do these people come from? Huckabee, of course, it's Mike Huckabee. Where do these people come from? Well, I mean, is this another example of we need tariffs up to keep the Chinese from exporting this kind of, these are robots, obviously. These are huge, walking, farting dolls of some sort, I guess. I've never seen anything like this. Palin and Huckabee and Bachmann. You know, it almost makes you just long for Mitt Romney. And now somehow they have sucked the brains out of the great Georgia intellectual Newt Gingrich and replaced his white matter with Vaseline. I don't know. It's astonishing what is going on. And funny. Speaking of Newt, Max writes in, I'm a couple of shows behind, so this may be dated. Newt's comment about Obama is incomprehensible. He is saying that Obama is a latter-day member of the Mau Mau, the Kenyan uprising against British occupation and control of Kenya. For me, it conjures up images from old Hollywood movies of the white hunters being mobbed by Africans, who would be depicted as a howling swarm of mindless and rage, violent subhumans bent on the total destruction of anything white, for no reason, of course. I can see Newt in a pith helmet, pulling out his Webley revolver, bracing himself for Obama's last desperate charge. Max. Yeah, you know what the comment was when Gingrich, who really, truly is losing his mind, and it's great fun to watch, but he said something about Obama is just acting out a Kenyan anti-colonial stance that was put into Obama's head by his dad, who was never around, of course, but Jesus, I'll tell you something. There is nothing weirder than to watch white people go insane, especially the political right wing and the religious right wing. And always white people. I mean, when people who are not white go insane, I mean, it's pretty obvious. They just go nuts. But when white people go insane, they want everybody to go insane with them. You know, because the person like Newt or Bachmann going insane, I'm white, I'm part of the power structure, therefore, as I go mad and start, you know, attempting to, I don't know, set fire to my own hair, you have to come along with me! Why? Because I'm white! Now, that doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, what I said just now doesn't make any sense. But that's what they're doing. I mean, the only black people who are media people or whatever you want to call them that I've seen go crazy is Michael Steele, head of the Republican Party, and who is the commentator, the one that sold? He was on Bush's payroll. Who is that? Huh? Armstrong Williams, right? Oh, Armstrong Williams. Ah, we'll be right back.
He's not ready to make nice. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Shakesville, a blog site. Woman there, Melissa McEwen, made a great catch. I don't have the sound for you, but here's what happened. Senator Judd Gregg, who is a Republican, obviously, from, where's he from? Up east somewhere. And this is a guy that Obama wanted to nominate him for Commerce Secretary. I think he did. And Judd Gregg withdrew. And all of a sudden, Judd Gregg is very concerned about Elizabeth Warren using her position in a new consumer protection agency. And in trying to articulate his concern, this another one of these crazy right-wingers opened his mouth and said what he actually believes about the proper role of Elizabeth Warren at this new agency. Gregg is the ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee and a senior member of the Banking Committee. He expressed dismay at Obama's decision to tap Warren as a key advisor, of course, to help set up the new Consumer Financial Protection Agency, which was established in the Wall Street Reform Bill. Gregg said on ABC's Top Line webcast, quote, "My concern is that she would use the agency for the purpose of promoting social justice." Oh, no! Oh, no! So there you have it. Officially, the Republican Party is against social justice. Nobody should promote social justice. Oh, my God, this is a capitalist, predatory capitalist world. Social justice, what the hell is that? Hasn't Glenn Beck warned his brain-dead followers that if your church has the word social justice in its manifesto or whatever the hell churches have, that you should flee, go join the Mormon church? They're not interested in social justice at all. They like to baptize dead Jews. I mean, God. So there you go. My concern, Judge Gregg said, my concern, Senator Gregg said, is that she would use the agency for the purpose of promoting social justice. So the Republican Party is against social justice. What does Gregg think that Elizabeth Warren should be using the Consumer Protection Bureau to do? Oh, my God. These people are so sick. I will be so glad when these folks are finally gone, as they will be soon. They will. They will. They will be gone. What else we got? Beep, 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 beep. Have you heard about the rally to restore sanity? Yeah, John Stewart has decided to hold rally to restore sanity in Washington, D.C. October 30th, just a few days before the midterm elections. And it's for real. He took part of his program the other night and said he's going to do it. The essence of Stewart's message in the rally to restore sanity is that Americans need to, quote, take it down a notch or two. That part of Stewart's message, yeah, he's a comedian, but remember the memorable Crossfire appearance back in 2006 when the hapless Bowtie Tucker Carlson and poor old Paul Begala were the hosts of that program, Crossfire on CNN. And he was on the program, and he reamed them both out. Stewart said to Carlson and Begala, "Why do we have to fight, the two of you?" He accused the hosts of partisan hackery. Stewart said, live on television, they were hurting America, called on them to stop. Shortly after that, Crossfire disappeared, remember? He said to the two of them that day, "You have a responsibility to the public discourse, and you fail miserably." He was complaining of the show's knee-jerk reactionary tone. So that was kind of the essence of Stewart's message in announcing the event on his show last night. Both the left and the right need to dial down the rhetoric and stop calling everyone Hitler, he said.
I remember that. Tucker Carlson looked at him and said, "I thought you were supposed to be funny."
Right.
And Stewart looked at him and said, "I thought you were supposed to be a journalist."
Right. Anyway, well, it remains to be seen. It says here, Brian Montopoli, writing at Political Hot Sheet online, Political Hot Sheet. It's a good site. He writes, "Well, it remains to be seen how many people will show up at the rally." He does, Stewart, does seem to have identified some public space that most people forget about in the era of the 24-hour news networks. That wide open space between Ann Coulter and Michael Moore. October 30th. Isn't that October 31st is Halloween, of course, but I certainly hope it happens. That should be an awful lot of fun, since it is the night before Halloween. Can you imagine if everybody went to this rally in costume? Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, my God. All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk to some folks. And also, I have before me from the home office in Three Rivers, Delaware, tonight's Prairie 2 Economic Affairs Report.
To the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
It is 25 before the hour. Thelma is in Monroe, Louisiana, listening on XM. Hey, Thelma. Thelma? Have we got Thelma?
Yes, Mike.
Hi, hey. Thelma.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I got you now.
Oh, great. So good to hear from you. I am a black American in Louisiana, and I am just shocked as to how the racism is so blatant.
It's really
going on. I mean, we're only 12% of the population, and we're good, hardworking, loving people. What's the problem?
White folks got to have somebody to be afraid of and to hate, and especially white Christians.
In some ways, I am glad to see this thing come to a head so that maybe we can deal with it.
Right.
But I am surprised as to the folk that are supposed to be Christian, good-hearted, loving, and intellectuals are filled with such hatred and greed is so rampant. That really surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people, I think, are good-hearted, loving people and hate that. But to be so fear and insecurity-driven for a population of people that's basically only about 12% of the population, tells me that there's something that's even more serious going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the only answer I've ever had for racism, Thelma, is probably the same answer you've had, and that is people who practice it are people who are first ignorant, and secondly, very, very fearful. They're afraid. They're people who live in fear, and it doesn't make any difference who they target for their bigotry. It can be black folk or Muslims or Jews or... pick somebody. The only people who ever had real power in this country that they could exercise at will and have been white people, and mostly white Christians. A lot of people may disagree with that. I said the only people in this country who have ever had unrestricted power that they could exercise at will have been white people, and to be scared, as terrified as some of these white fools seem to be, I don't get it, Thelma. The only thing I can say,
as you said, it is fear and insecurity driven. Plus, power does want to keep power, doesn't it?
It does indeed. It does indeed.
And that's probably the crux of it. But I am so glad to see people as yourself speaking out, and what John Stewart is doing is phenomenal to me. And I just wish I were able to go to his rally, because we do need to bring some sanity back to this.
I hope that can happen. Thelma, thanks for checking in, okay?
Thank you. You have a blessed one.
All right. You have a nice weekend. Thanks a lot, Thelma. All right, we got two open lines. Tell you what. If you don't want to chat, then what we'll do is put on some polka music, and, I'm just going to, head for the bunk. 877-996-2556. I know it's much more entertaining to hear me scream and rant and rave, but this is your time to say something. Come on. Pick up the damn phone. Or not. I don't know. If we don't get some calls here pretty soon, we'll just have Kathy block the lines, and I'll go ahead and do what I usually do. From Prairie 2, two scoops of ice cream and an extra fuzzy puppy. He writes, Wall Street finished up a few points today to end the week in the black, and the corporate news reported this like we all get ice cream and a new puppy. The fact is that the market is about where it was 10 years ago. Gold set another record today at $1,274 an ounce, and gold bugs are saying it will hit $1,600 an ounce in 2 years. Today's price is still short of the high of $674 an ounce from 30 years ago when adjusted for inflation. If you're lucky, your house is worth as much as you paid for it 10 years ago. But if you bought it 5 years ago, Alan Greenspan sends his apologies, though he won't be sending you a check for the difference. The total number of jobs in the U.S. is about where it was 10 years ago, despite the creation of 1 million new government and military jobs to fight the forever war that has just entered its 10th year. There are 3 million fewer factory jobs than 10 years ago. Of course, that doesn't really tell the whole story. Every job lost takes a number of other jobs with it and helps drive down the wages of those who remain. The tax base of every town and city has been driven down. If they lose the jobs and their coffers looted when they pay some capitalist pirate to stay for a few more years. The offshoring of jobs also allows corporations to dodge U.S. taxes, going from a third of federal revenue in the 50s to about 5% today. There's another small bit of good news to end the week, with the SEC voting in new rules to require banks and corporations to stop cooking the books like Lehman Brothers did by using so-called repurchase agreements to hide billions of debt that they had no assets to cover. This scheme was a so-called legal accounting maneuver, where they would pretend to sell debt at a handsome profit right at the end of each quarter, when in fact they were obligated to repurchase the same debt at a loss the next week. Oh, these sons of bitches. No, Prairie 2 didn't write that. I'm just saying it. He goes on, there's a small chance President Obama may actually fix the economy by cracking down on the organized theft in the financial services industry, quote, quote. The theory would be that if they can't just steal the money, they might actually start rebuilding the U.S. economy in order to make a legitimate profit. And if that works, I'll have two scoops of ice cream and an extra fuzzy puppy. PrairieNumeral2.com. You know, more and more, when the financial crisis hit, really hit, and started ripping everything into a million sharp shards a couple of years ago, you know, like most people in this country, I would just be befuddled. I didn't know a hedge fund from a leveraged buyout. You know, like most Americans, and I mean most, I didn't have a clue. I do now. I didn't have a clue what all that meant. Not a clue. To me, it was just gibberish. Because we Americans, there are certain things we just don't pay any attention to, and usually they are the essential things that determine what our life is going to be like. You know, whether or not we have single-payer health care in this country. Oh, nobody cares about that. Whether or not we have jobs. Well, nobody cares about that. Whether or not Wall Street is just one huge mafia-run casino that just continues to rip and rip and rip, because that is what capitalism does. So why bother? Why bother learning the terms? Why bother understanding what the hell is going on, what these people are doing to us, right? But don't we feel stupid now, huh? I mean, there will never come a time for me, for the rest of my life, when I don't understand what these rapacious leeches have done. And, I mean, to hear these people whine and scream and cry because of the appointment of Elizabeth Warren, you filthy bastards, what do you want? Everything? You've got 98% of everything now. What do you want, 99.9? Is there any bone or crumb that the working class or the middle class can have, you filthy, greedy sharks? Anything. I hope Elizabeth Warren goes in there and just starts slashing and burning. All these threats from these bastards, too. They're just like the capitalist pigs that work in these small towns. They set up a factory after getting all kinds of tax breaks, all kinds of easements given to them free, all kinds of this, all kinds of that. They stick around until they get a better deal 3 years later in China, and then they're gone. They're gone. So she's going to go after the credit card industry. That's a good place to start. If there's ever been a clearer example of organized crime than the credit card industry, I'd like to know what it is. Unless it's the mortgage lending industry. That's another one. Or the venture capitalist industry. Oh, now, Mike, come on. Venture capitalism is what keeps this economy going. No, it's not. Venture capitalism is what determines who are the winners and losers. And it's not you, pal, and it damn sure isn't me. I hope Elizabeth Warren kicks ass so hard that these thugs can't sit down for a month. What do you think? Think it'll happen? All right, we have a break coming here in just a few seconds. We'll come back and take some phone calls. Oh, no. What do you got up there on the board? Okay. All right. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Do 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 do. There's the music.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This is the Malloy Program. Ray is in Oakdale, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
It's been a while. Very quickly, you seem to broach the idea that Obama may be having a kind of epiphany and he may be starting to wake up a little bit.
Well, no, I don't think Obama's asleep. I think he has an agenda, and I think he is trying to put that agenda into place. I just don't think the agenda is a liberal or progressive agenda. It may have some liberal or a progressive appearing aspects, but Obama is what he is. You know, he's a free marketeer. He's made that very clear.
Yep.
He's a neoliberal where it concerns globalist economic policy, which is a policy that does not work. He believes in capitalism. And the fact that the baggers and the right wingers and these crazy freaked out lunatics that now control the Republican Party keep insisting he's a socialist is just a joke. It's just a joke. So what I was trying to say is I think maybe he understands now, A, he cannot work with this latest incarnation of Republicans. B, he's got to put somebody in charge of the hen house other than these foxes that have been running the place, and that's what Elizabeth Warren's going to do.
She's great, isn't she? But very quickly, Mike, I also want to throw in a word for a guy who's running for governor here in Minnesota.
Okay.
Under the Ecology Democracy Party. His name is Ken Pentel, and I really hope you two guys can talk.
Well, why don't you, if you can, Ray, you or have him send me a link to his website, and we'll try to get in touch with him.
Okay, your email is mike@mikemalloy.com.
That's it.
.com.
Right.
That's what I need to hear. And I'm sorry I sound the way I sound, Mike. I had a minor stroke back in June.
You sound fine to me, pal.
So I apologize.
No apology necessary. You sound fine to me, Ray.
Well, that's good to hear, and KTNF is coming in a little more clearly tonight, so it was possible to hear what you had to say.
Well, good. Always good to hear from you. Stay in touch, Ray. Appreciate you checking in. Damon is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on XM. Hi, Damon.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Say, I like to listen to the Serious Left once in a while to hear the other side's point of view.
Yeah.
Does it?
Do you learn anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not a. I don't agree with. There's some lunatics on the right for sure. I mean, I won't disagree with you on that. What does kind of frustrate me is we tend to get all lumped in one bunch.
I think that's because you don't resist. I mean, you allow people. I'm going to make broad generalizations here, Damon, so I hope I don't offend you. But people on the right allow people like Michelle Bachmann or this woman who just won, quote, in Delaware. People like Sarah Palin. I mean, you folks are quiet. Newt Gingrich now, as these people make the most outrageous, ridiculous, insane statements. So, of course, normal people lump all you right-wingers together. Of course, because nobody, who on your side is speaking out? For God's sake, you know who's speaking out now against this O'Donnell woman? Karl Rove! I mean, of all people!
Well, she makes some crazy-ass statements, there's no doubt about it.
I mean, this woman defines crazy. Look in the dictionary under lunatic. There's her picture. So that's why all that just to answer what I think was a question. You know, why do so many people on the conservative right get lumped together? It's because you don't do anything to stop these nutcases.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
Don't elect them. I mean, it's very simple.
I didn't elect them.
I said I'm making broad generalizations here, Damon. I doubt if you vote in the Delaware Republican primary. I'm just saying, when these people become spokespersons for conservatives, what the hell do you expect the rest of us to think?
I know, but I mean, you still got to be fair. I mean,
how can you ask me, who a person who is definitely on the left of the political spectrum in this country, how can you ask me to be fair to people who insist that Barack Obama is a Muslim and wasn't even born in this country? What am I supposed to do with that? Am I supposed to sit down with that and say, well, you know, you may have a point? I mean, come on!
Well, no, you're not supposed to listen to them. Nobody is.
Okay.
But, I mean, just don't assume that everybody that's
where do you fall on that conservative scale?
Well, first of all, I mean, I believe that, you know, left to its own vices, the government makes bad decisions.
Why do you think that? Why do you think that? Don't you really mean that left to its own devices, scummy people on the left and right who get into government make bad decisions? I think government works wonderfully if it's not run by thugs on the left or the right. And we've had a steady stream of thugs. Hey, I'll tell you what, Damon, let me put you on hold. I got to do a break here. I never do this, but I'm going to do it for you because you're the first conservative who's called this program in a long time that I think I might be able to have a conversation with. So if you want to hold on while I go over this break at the top of the hour, I'll come back and we'll pick it up there. If you got to go, I understand. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. I have a message for you from the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. We all know too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Apologies and favors for big oil and Wall Street, schemes to privatize Social Security, and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get close to November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. It is 7 past the hour. Welcome back. We were talking with Damon before the break, who is in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. All right. You're about to tell me what kind of a conservative you are.
Well, I just believe that, you know, I think the government's trying too hard to babysit all of us. I think that, you know, part of our freedoms are to make bad decisions as well as good decisions.
All right, what would you have eliminated? Let's get specific. When you say the government is trying to babysit us, I guess that means there are too many federal programs for your liking. Let me
just take, for instance, you know, well, okay, so for instance, so they wanted the banks to, they put a bunch of screws to the banks so they can't borrow money to people who can't pay it back, correct?
No, that's not correct. If I'm understanding your question.
Well, I mean, they didn't put the screws to them, but basically they said you got to do your homework before you lend people money because you're going to lose your tail.
Well, I would disagree with you that has happened, but let's assume it did happen. What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing's wrong with that.
Where's your complaint?
Then 15 minutes later, they're yelling at the banks saying, you guys need to start borrowing money again. Well,
No. I think you've kind of got it. No offense, Damon, but I think you got it backwards. I think what the Obama administration would like to see would be, and I think what I would like to see as an American citizen would be the banks start to lend money again, not borrow. They have all the money. Who are they going to borrow it from? Let's see them lend it. Because the Federal Reserve that determines how much money the banks have, the Federal Reserve has reduced their lending rates to the banks to almost zero, and the banks are turning around. How much do you pay on your credit card, Damon? What's your interest rate?
My wife has a credit card, but
what do you think? What do you think the interest is? 6, 8, 12, 14%? What is it?
Well, she's a programmer for a bank.
Yeah.
A computer programmer, so I think it's like 6.
Okay. Why should she be paying 6% if the bank is paying essentially nothing for the money? But we're getting too far afield. I still don't see what your complaint is about regulating banks.
Well, that's a bad example. I'll give you a good example.
Okay, give me a good example.
Okay. I know 3 guys that were laid off.
Right.
And took unemployment, okay?
Right.
Okay. Now, the more they keep extending unemployment, these guys aren't even looking for jobs.
What do they do? What kind of work do they do?
Construction.
Do you realize the construction industry has taken probably the biggest hit? Hundreds of thousands of jobs have simply disappeared. Damon, do you see...
That's fine, the construction, but you have to... Okay, for instance, I got out of college, Mike.
Well, wait, Damon. Let's stay with the 3 guys who worked in construction and got laid off. Are you saying... Somebody, I've known people working in construction, they make a good living, 80, 90, 100 grand a year when things are going good. Are you saying that these people are content to sit on their asses and draw 15,000 a year? After drawing 80 or 90,000, they're happy with 15?
No, not these, they didn't make near that much, but.
All right, 50.
They're not willing to take a lesser job.
Like what?
Well, like, for instance, go work at McDonald's. I mean, do what you got to do to provide for your family.
Damon, that's a teenager's job. How do you provide for your family at $7.60 an hour? Could you?
If I had to do it, I would.
No. Could you take care of your family on $7 an hour?
Could I? No.
Okay, well then why are you expecting other adult men to do that?
Do
something. Let me ask you, if you got laid off and unemployment comp, which by the way is in most states here in Georgia, it's not a government program. Employers pay into, that's not a tax program. That has nothing to do with taxes. But let's set that aside for a second. Here in Georgia, I've been on unemployment here. The maximum is $300 a week. Should I, if I'm given a chance, let's say I've got a family, let's say I got 2 kids and a mortgage and a car, and I lose my job, and I got a choice. I can draw $300 a week unemployment, or I can go work at McDonald's for $220. What would you do, Damon?
Well, that's what's wrong with the system, man.
Wait! Come on! Don't get all vague on me here. What would you do?
What would I do?
Yes, sir.
I'd find a different line of work.
And what if there were no jobs available?
There are jobs available.
Doing what? You said working in McDonald's. I'm using your example. I'm using the example you gave me.
Well, it's just because I'm just trying to pervade that even if it's, okay, let's say they were hiring a custodian that's making $25 an hour, and you could scrape along doing that.
But what if there are no custodian jobs available? But the point is, Damon, and we're getting very far afield here, unemployment comp is not a tax program. Who told you it was?
Well, I guess you're right, because we pay into it.
Okay, so now where are you? Haven't yet given me an example. You said government's too big, it's too intrusive, you want to get your freedom back. I'm still waiting for you to give me one, just one example of a program that you would cut or end.
Well, a program that I would cut?
A federal program that you would get rid of. Give me one, please.
I would probably, well, for instance, the program that they're proposing for the people with underwater mortgages.
Nothing proposed. I'm talking about stuff that's going on now. What would you cut? What would you end? Social Security?
You can't really do that.
Medicare?
No. But I don't think we need to add anymore.
Well, if you have more people who are turning 65, how do you not add more to Medicare? Do you tell the new crop coming in? You can't. Okay. How about this? How about the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIPS program for kids who, through no fault of their own, are in a family where the mom and or the dad, if there happens to be both, are unemployed, there's no health insurance, the kids, these state programs that are partially funded by the state, partially funded by the federal government, would you cut that?
Hell no. I wouldn't cut. But, I mean, there's a lot of places where government's very good.
Well, give me one! Just one! They do exist. Tell me one.
Tell you one?
Yes, sir. Please. A program that you would end that's taking away your freedom. That's how you started this conversation. I'm not trying to be a smartass with you, Damon. Not at all.
I understand that.
I'm just trying to get you to tell me what you mean. Wait, hold on. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to put you on hold again, Damon, and keep you for even more time on this radio program. This will give you 5 minutes to figure out an answer, okay? What program is taking away, a federal government program that's taking away your freedom that you would eliminate? Okay? Because that's what you said.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. We're talking with Damon, who called in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. All right, have you come up with any freedom devouring program that the federal government has put out there? You know, I can think of a bunch during the Bush years, but I mean, go ahead. I ask you the question.
I'll say, anytime you tax somebody, you're taking away their freedom. But okay, here's a program that I think is a complete waste.
Well, wait, before you go any further, when you tax people, if the tax money is used properly, you're guaranteeing their freedom. You're not taking away. Who do you think pays your police department? Who pays
your taxes?
Do you get my point? Who pays your fire department?
Well, there's absolutely very legitimate reasons to have taxes.
Okay,
but there's also
thank
very
you.
Illegitimate reasons.
Well, yeah, war is one of them. Invading other people's countries for no reason is another one. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of reasons, but we're trying to find common ground here, Damon. So far, we're not doing very good. But go ahead.
No. But here's an example. Like NPR. Why does the government need to fund a radio station?
All right, a couple of things. First of all, NPR is not a radio station. It's a radio network. And why does the government fund the National Endowment for the Arts? Why does the government the quick answer to your question is it's a means of spreading information, sharing a common ideas, common beliefs. It's a way of getting news out. What is your problem with NPR?
Well, I just think that it's not something you should use taxes for. I liked your first answer a lot better. Police departments, schools, things of that nature.
Do you think
the rest of that stuff can be handled by charity?
Well, I charities are going broke right now. Charities are having all they can do to feed people and provide some place for families to sleep.
And do you know why that is? It's because taxes and all everybody's money is going.
No. It's because after 30 years of Reaganomics, the country is destroyed. The jobs are gone. After Reagan, George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and Bush Cheney, the country's destroyed. There are no jobs here anymore. Everything's gone. What do you do for a living?
I'm in sales.
You're in sales. Okay, well, that's a job that can't be outsourced. But if the company you're working for goes belly up or moves someplace else, what are you going to do?
Find another sales job.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. I think that's great. Do you are the sales jobs out there, are they guaranteed salaries now? Are there benefits? Or is it commission? Is it, you know?
It's commission. You get what you produce.
Uh-huh. Well, that sounds kind of communistic to me. You get a share of what you produce? Wait a minute, Damon. Wait a second. That sounds very socialistic. You know, from people depending on their ability to people depending on their need. That sounds like something that Karl Marx might have written.
I don't see how that's communistic.
Well, if you're paid a piece of the action, if you're working for a company that says we're not going to pay you anything, but here you can get a piece of the action. Just go, you know, go out there, and that just sounds, I don't know, sounds vaguely socialistic to me, doesn't it?
Well, you know how commission works.
Right, I do. All right, well, Damon, listen, have you come up with anything where the government is taking your freedom?
Well,
other than NPR.
Well, I mean, I think they have no business sticking their nose in healthcare.
Well, in healthcare, sticking their nose, but their nose already is in healthcare. About Medicare. Would you want to end Medicare? Do you have parents?
Yeah.
Are they on Medicare?
No.
Will they soon be?
No.
Oh, they'll
never pay for their own health care.
Oh, so when your parents turn 65, they're not going to take Medicare?
I don't know if they will or not, but they got enough money they could probably afford to buy their own setup.
Do you know how much?
That's not fair. You're right. I mean, we have to take care of the elderly. And you know, the only real difference between us is the level to which I think the government should be involved in our everyday lives.
Okay, well, that sounds great, but you haven't given me an example of where that involvement is intrusive.
Well, when you start expanding all these government programs, they have to be paid for.
Okay. All right, well, listen, Damon, I'm glad you called. I really am. I hope you'll continue to listen on XM, and I hope you'll call in again. I've got to move on because we got to take a break. And if you're driving, drive safely. Thanks for checking in, Damon, and take care. All right? Take care. Yes?
Well, I just have to wonder, you know.
Now, don't talk about Damon behind his back.
Just where folks, literally, Damon, no offense, but, I mean, do you think that the defense budget of the federal government might be a tiny bit larger than the amount allocated for National Public Radio? I mean, where would these folks yelling about government spending when we bankrupted the corporation of the United States to invade the Middle East.
I know.
That cost a little bit more than putting out Morning Edition.
Yes, it did. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
What a wonderful world this would be. Well, don't much about geography. Don't know much trigonometry.
From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So till you're back safe in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology.
25
all the treasuries
before the
being
hour.
Led.
Michael writes, and Damon, if he's a college graduate, should understand that he'd likely never get a job in his chosen field again if he's taken an unskilled labor job for any length of time. Employers are very picky when there are 5 unemployed people for every available job. So anything that doesn't look perfect on one's employment record is a reason not to hire. And Prairie 2 writes, regarding Damon, he writes, and now it's about making a big deal about the right-wing crazies and nothing about everything conservatives have shut down our throats over the past 30 years. How about trickle-down economics, no infrastructure maintenance, outsourcing of jobs, worthless 401ks, failed banking system, failed education system, and on and on and on. My job is not to educate people at all. I think Damon maybe, when he stops and thinks about the garbage that's pumped out there every day by right-wing talk radio, which is 99.9% of talk radio, maybe he will challenge it. But, you know, people like their comfort zone. It's very difficult to get somebody to step out of that comfort zone, no matter how encased it is in BS and lies and deceptions and half-truths and bigotry and prejudice and and maniacal political candidates. You get enmeshed in that, and it's very difficult to say, wait a second, you know, these people that have been telling me this stuff are completely wrong. I got to get out of this. That's difficult to do. Sue from Ohio writes, Mike, your caller Damon stirred me up a bit when he expressed his anger about why he always gets lumped into the same bag as the rest of the right-wing loonies, and you said it's because he lets them. You were spot on. But alas, I have little sympathy for the Damons of the world who are angry at the way they're looked upon because of the fringe in the party he supports. Because as he's let it happen to himself, he's let it happen to us all. By failing to demand the control and restraint of behavior of the party he supports, liberals like myself have spent years being vilified at the hands of the same people who make folks like Damon look like idiots. The right-wing radio Damon admits to being a fan of has called us liberals unpatriotic and have convinced others like him that we hate America simply because we didn't support George Bush's policies. And yeah, I'm still pretty ticked off about it. The party he supports claims people like you and I are worse than any terrorists they could ever dream up, and they make no apologies for it. They're also the party that's willing to let people starve and die of illness, and that pisses me off even more than the ad nauseum name-calling. And Damon has the nerve to complain about how he's being perceived? The Republican Party and its supporters all need a great big dose of grow the hell up. Well, yeah, of course. Dennis is in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Dennis.
Oh, hi, Mike. Calling from Hendersonville, North Carolina, and we listen to your show every night.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes you make it very hard to go to sleep.
I'm sorry.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
I I'm calling to talk about the Social Security payments that go to our senior citizens and those people who are unfortunate to be blind or have lost their parents and such like that. And the importance of it. Back in my college days and I took my economics classes, it was drummed into us that these payments to put money in circulation, and it kept us out of economic trouble. And it just seems like the opposition party doesn't seem to know anything about it. And I don't understand why the Democrats aren't jumping on this and really pounding it home. I don't understand it.
Well, by Democrats, I guess you mean Democratic office holders.
Yeah, those running for office.
Right. I don't know why they don't either. I don't know why there is more nadir approach to the reality of what we're dealing with in this country and less, Barack Obama. Nadir and the people who represent Nader policies or Nader, Ralph Nader's ideas. I realize Nader is what? He's approaching 80. He's never going to own any political office or occupy, I should say, any political office. But what he says is so true, so salient, so right on the money. And I wish that we had Democrats, and Nader's a Democrat. I wish we had Democrats who would talk like that. When I say Nader's a Democrat, I mean what he talks about are or should be Democratic Party policies. And in order to get these candidates or office holders talking about this stuff, they first have to agree that it's that these are solutions. And there are very few Democrats these days, and I think you agree with me, Dennis, very few Democrats these days who are anything more or less than just part of the corporate power structure.
Well, as I was sitting here listening to you talk to the other gentleman, I was thinking back to my college days that those kids who came into college and they weren't quite up to snuff had to take these sort of like pre-admission classes.
Right, right.
And maybe the Speaker of the House is going to have to set up some classes in Congress to teach economics 101. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. Well, we all should take that course, that's for sure. Dennis, thanks. I appreciate your calling. Take care. I quoted a little bit of what Nader had Chris Hedges at Truthdig had a interview or a conversation with Nader recently, and I quoted a little bit of it last night. Hedges writes the following: the Tea Party movement is, as Nader points out, a conviction revolt. Most of the participants in the Tea Party rallies are not poor. They are small business people and professionals. They feel that something is wrong. They see that the two parties are equally responsible for the subsidies and bailouts, the wars and the deficits. They know these parties must be replaced. The corporate state, whose interests are being championed by Tea Party leaders such as Palin and Dick Armey, is working hard to make sure the anger of the movement is directed toward government rather than corporations and Wall Street. And if these corporate apologists succeed, a more overt form of corporate fascism will emerge without a socialist counterweight. Now, let me digress. I forget where I read this. The recent programs like mine have an almost impossible task of trying to establish in different radio markets is because, essentially, I attack a frontal assault on corporate America. The right-wingers, all these multimillionaire right-wing pundits and radio talk show hosts attack government. Government doesn't buy ads on radio. Corporate America does. In other words, 2 + 2 does equal 4. You know, when I hear right-wingers say, well, how many stations are you on? That doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a damn thing. Being on XM and Sirius and the Internet, we're available around the globe. So how many stations are you on? It means squat these days. It doesn't mean a thing. And people who say that are just vomiting up what, some dickhead like Sean Hannity might say. Well, how many stations is Malloy on? I'm on 800. How many is he on? That's not the point. When you have a head-to-head contest with funding out of the way,
between a right-wing talk show host and a left-wing talk show host. The left-wing talk show host is always going to kick the right-winger's ass. But when there are no liberals or left-wingers around, or when we are consigned to radio stations that drop their power when the sun goes down, or we're on 5,000-watt stations when the pig man is on 50,000-watt stations, what the hell do you expect? So corporate America will pay for those people who support their ideas. Duh. I mean, that's not difficult to figure out. So, you know, if you have some loudmouth, insane person like me on the air every night, busting the living hell out of these predatory capitalist bastards, where's the surprise that rather than being on WLS out of Chicago, I might be on some 500-watt station out of Clinton, Arkansas? I mean, where's the surprise? There is no fairness in the system is what I'm trying to tell you. And I don't complain about it. You don't hear me complain about it. I couldn't care less. Being on Sirius and XM, anybody who wants to hear this program, who's a subscriber, can hear it. Being on stations around the country, some of them, it's a real iffy proposition because we are on stations. This program is on stations that drop power at night when I come on. You know, a Hartman or somebody else who speaks the non-corporate right-wing gibberish may be on the same station, but they're on during the day when the power is 5, 10, 25, 50, 1,000-watt stations. So I don't know why I got on that, but more when we come back. Stay with us.
C-SPAN, so you don't have to. It's more Mike Malone.
And NPR. All right, your phone calls here in just a second. I know a couple of you have been holding on for a long time. I'm going to get there in just a minute. But back to this thing, this conversation Nader and Chris Hedges had the other day. Nader says, poor people don't organize. They never have. It has always been people who have fairly good jobs. You don't see Walmart workers massing anywhere. The people who are the most militant are the people who had the best blue-collar jobs. Their expectation level was high. When they felt their jobs were being jeopardized, they got really angry. But when you are at $7.25 an hour, you want to hang on to $7.25 an hour. It's a strange thing. People have institutionalized oppressive power in the form of surrender, Nader said. It is not that they like it. But what are you going to do about it? You make the best of it. The system of control is staggeringly dictatorial. It breaks new ground and innovates in ways no one in human history has ever innovated. You start in American history where these corporations have influence. Then they have lobbyists. Then they run candidates. Then they put their appointments in top government positions. Now they're actually operating the government. Look at Halliburton, Blackwater. Yesterday, someone in our office called the Office of Pipeline Safety, apropos the San Bruno explosion in California. The presswoman answered. The guy in our office saw on the screen that she had CTR next to her name. He said, what is CTR? She said, I'm a contractor. He said, this is a press office, Department of Transportation? They contracted out the press office? Yes, she said, but that's okay. I come to work every day. So, Nader went on, the corporate state is the ultimate maturation of American-type fascism. They leave wide open, they leave wide areas of personal freedom so that people can confuse personal freedom with civic freedom. This gets, I think, to what Damon is talking about. The freedom to go where you want, eat where you want, associate with who you want, buy what you want, work where you want, sleep when you want, play when you want. If people have given up on any civic or political role for themselves, there is a sufficient amount of elbow room to get through the day. They don't have the freedom to participate in the decisions about war, foreign policy, domestic health and safety issues, taxes, or transportation. That's the genius. But one of corporate America's Achilles heels is that the price of the corporate state is a deteriorating political economy. They can't stop their greed from getting the next morsel. The question is, at what point are enough people going to have a breaking point in terms of their own economic plight? At what point will they say enough is enough? And then he goes on to say, if you took a day off and did nothing but listen to Hannity, Beck, and Limbaugh and realize that this goes on 260 days a year, you would see that it is overwhelming. You have to almost have a genetic resistance in your mind and body not to be affected by what's being said. These guys are very good. They are clever. They're funny. They are emotional. It beats me how Air America didn't make it, except it went after or criticized corporations and corporate advertisers. These right-wingers go after government. And government doesn't advertise. And that's the difference. It isn't that their message appeals more, the right-wingers. Air America starved because it couldn't get ads. Well, that, Ralph, let me add, but also because some of the people running Air America were goddamn thugs and thieves. But that's a different story. The thing that is very upsetting to me, and I know it's upsetting to a lot of people who continue to maintain a political awareness even in the face of this insanity that's devouring this country, but the thing that bothers me is that things have gotten so completely insane. You know, when you have a woman who just won the nomination to be a senator from the state of Delaware, who insists that private godless science has taken a mouse and put a human brain in it, and she believes that. When she believes go down her list. I mean, it's one thing to have political, in the political arena, crazy people. Look at this woman, Linda McMahon. How did she make her money? Running professional wrestling. For Christ's sake, that is a starting point to become a whatever the hell she wants to be. What does she want to be, a senator or governor? I don't even know. Don't email me because I don't care. But when the political system gets to that point where you have a major political party, and Damon, if you're still listening, this is why liberals or progressives think all y'all are nuttier than fruitcakes out of Claxton, Georgia. For Christ's sake. A woman who believes there are mice running around with human brains in it got elected by your party to be in the Senate? And you wonder why? Look at your buddy Rand Paul. I don't know if he's your buddy or not, but look at the stuff he talks about. And you wonder why normal people look at that and go, oh, period, my, period, God, exclamation point. But, you know, my job on this program is to gather as many people as I can around a campfire every evening to talk about stuff. It's not to educate. It's not to elucidate. It's not to enlighten. I mean, that's not, that's Glenn Beck's job. That's Sarah Palin's job. You know, my job is just to be here on the corner at night. And if you can get out of the house and come down and hang out on the corner for a while, all right, we'll drink a beer. We'll smoke a joint. We'll sit around and talk. And then you'll go home and I'll go home. It's that simple. 7 past the hour. Message from the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. We all know too well what happens when Republicans run the show. Favors and apologies for big oil and Wall Street, schemes to privatize Social Security, and hundreds of thousands more layoffs for our teachers, nurses, and firefighters. As we get close to November, remember, history only repeats itself if you let it. Mark is in San Francisco. Thanks for holding on for over an hour. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
It's kind of hard to hear you, so I don't know if you have to make an adjustment. But
okay, let's make an adjustment. How is that better?
That's much better.
Okay.
Anyway, what I wanted to call about, Mike, and I've been listening to your show the last couple nights, and you've been talking about our labor struggles in this country,
right?
With unions and corporations. I'm very familiar with that because I negotiated contracts with big newspaper corporations, so I've seen it all. I know it up front. It was hitting home. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about is, I think what you have described with Nader is that we really have to have a movement in this country that's going to be maybe not as traditional as we know it, but maybe one that would go after a corporation like Fox with a campaign to go after their distorted lies and their distorted news, a full campaign of informational picketing, and just go after a corporation with a bunch of progressives and try to hurt a corporation. That might be one way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a thought. I mean,
well, I don't know how that would work initially. What it would do would generate millions of dollars worth of free publicity for Fox, and they could paint themselves as being set upon by these terrible, crazed, militant liberals. The best way to end an organization like Fox, and this is utterly impossible, is to convince everybody that they're lying sons of bitches who are corrupting and polluting the system, whose leadership at Fox is determined to bring the system down so that they can control it completely. I don't know how to convince people that.
Do you think it's possible with a campaign of a movement of progressives that we could maybe do some damage to them? And
I don't know. You know, look at all the campaigns Ralph Nader's been involved in, all the campaigns that Michael Moore has been involved in. I don't know. You tell me. You know, this is an enormous country, the United States, 316 or 325 million people. 3,000 miles coast to coast, you know, another 1,800 border to border. I don't know how you do that. Mass media is broken into so many chunks. I honest to God, don't know how you do it, Mark.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that a cause like that would unite enough progressives to be on the same page to go after them? Because this is where the problem is. This is why Bush has gotten away with having illegal wars. I mean, our news media is just played along with this corporate agenda.
I agree. There is power in numbers. There's power in truth, and there's power in numbers. If you combine truth and numbers, you can do anything you want to. There's also power in lies. 6 million people went to the death chambers in Europe because of lies. There is tremendous power in lies. If you combine lies and corporate power, as Fox media conglomerate does, it's an awesome force to try to overcome, short of violence. Now, you know, we're not supposed to advocate violence in the United States unless we're advocating violence against the Iraqis or the Afghans or the Panamanians or I go down the list. But we're not supposed to advocate violence here at home because then we become domestic terrorists. So in the meantime, how to offset this horrendous evil, and I don't necessarily believe in evil, this horrendous negativity, let's do it that way, that an organization like Fox and the people who work there are injecting into the society. If you come up with something, Mark, I will follow you to the gates of hell to try to get something like Fox News eliminated, because it is nothing but a cancer. It's poison. It's death. But I don't know what to do about it.
And tear it down. We might, like BP is trying to regain their credibility by paying millions to regain it. If we can do that to Fox, I think the progressive movement would have a strong say in a lot of areas, in including government. That's just my thinking. I could be wrong, but I'm just throwing it out at you to see what you think.
Well, I guess that's what I think, Mark, what I said. If there were a way to do it peacefully, I think it would be done, and we can't advocate violence. Mark, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm not sure what to do with a huge propaganda operation. Well, historically, not usually anymore. Hell, anything. All the methods of mind control and population control and that have been perfected over hundreds of years are being used against the American people. That's what capitalism does. That's what corporatism does. They don't want your body, just your body. They want your body, but they want your mind nullified so that you're not thinking. You know, go back to the Bible. No, not that one. 1984. Or anything that Orwell wrote. Look at his essays. But the classic, the Bible on all this, of course, is 1984. Your body, they don't give a goddamn about your body. Your body is disposable. What they want, they, being this corporate capitalist machine, they want your mind. And they want your mind not to use it. They want it to switch it off. They don't want your mind. They have people on their payroll whose minds they use, and they don't want that many of them. And as far as your labor is concerned, oh, yeah, they'll use your labor for a while until they don't want to use your labor anymore, and then they kick you to the curb. So how to overcome a number of years, pick your own number, 30 years, 20 years of absolute brainwashing in this country into believing that the very organizations that are murdering the country are the organizations through which we can only, the only organizations through which we can find salvation. To have completely flipped it so that the organizations who are about social justice, fair play, regulations to stop some of the more murderous aspects of capitalism, that all of that is wrong. See, it's been totally flipped. How to unflip it, I don't know how to do that. I have no idea. The hucksters, the pigs like Glenn Beck, jump on that bandwagon. They don't want to change anything. Why should they? Everything is working out fine. I mean, take a look at the difference between, say, Glenn Beck and or Rush Limbaugh and Ralph Nader, using Nader again. Poor Nader, dragging him out here all night into this conversation. But take a look at them. Take a look at what they both have represented over the course of their lives. On the one hand, a consumer activist who has had really had as at the center of Nader's existence of justice. I mean, that's all you have to say, justice. You take his counterpart on the right, a Beck or a Limbaugh, or some of these other monsters, and what has been their organizing principle? It hasn't been justice. It's been exploitation and power, and that's it. Now, anyone who can't see that, how are they to be educated so that they do see it? I don't know how to do that because it's a structural thing. It's not a matter of, oh, this is a trend or this is something's happening now. The structure of this country is corrupt. The political slash economic or economic slash political structure of the country is corrupt. How do you handle corruption? You end it. You got a better idea, Truth Seeker? I have no idea. I'm lost, man. I am lost in a lost world. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to believe. So I come down here to the corner every night and see if you people can enlighten me. We'll be right back.
See how they fly to where people die. See how they run. I'm crying. Drilling, reaping while the children die.
Unfiltered, only with Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. Coming up after the next break, we're going to do podcast trivia. And the reason we're still doing that is because of all the donations, people who have donated subscriptions to podcast trivia. So after the next break, bottom of the hour, we'll be giving away a one-year subscription to Malloy Podcast Downloads, commercial-free. Stick around for that. Michelle is in Visalia, California.
That is how you say it.
Hey,
I'm sure most people have never heard of it.
Never have. Where is that?
It's in Central California, Central Valley.
Central Valley?
Fresno, yeah. North of Bakersfield. I don't know even if
gotcha.
That doesn't mean anything to anyone.
Gotcha. Well, welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Mike. I am, you keep me tethered to the earth at this point, I'll tell you, every night. You really do. I am thankful every day that your voice is out there, the voice of reason in a
wow, that's, that's pretty high praise. Well, thanks.
Well, you know, these are some pretty dark times. And,
oh my God, tell me about it.
It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I just get more and more depressed every day and trying to think about, you know, what the righteous cause is anymore.
It is now
it's survival.
It is difficult to have a real good, positive, upbeat, up-tempo attitude right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anybody who does is probably on some pretty strong drugs.
Well, or they're Christian.
Well, that too. But that, you know, don't forget what, you know, religion is. It's opium.
Yes. Yeah.
But anyway, what you really called about?
Well, what I really called about, it's been a while since I called what I was really calling about, but I mean, I guess it's all kind of part of the big picture. And I wonder about people like Glenn Beck. Do you know if any of those jerkwads have children?
Oh, yeah. Beck has kids. Hannity does.
Children.
Huh?
Those poor kids.
Well, I wonder about that sometimes. When I was a kid growing up, I knew, a lot of my playmates, the kids I went to school with, had parents who were violent, usually their fathers, or parents whose attitudes about foreigners or minorities or religion or unions was verged on the insane and the violent. And I watched as these kids grew up, and the ones that I still have contact with, and they aren't very many, some of them wound up dying in America's wars, or wound up in prison because of violence, or wound up, you know, strung out on drugs or hung up on some kind of addiction. But a lot of them just wound up normal. Just, you know, so I don't know what happens to the children of the extreme right wingers. I know it must screw them up somehow. Look at Dr. Laura's son. You know, there's a classic example of what happened to him.
I don't know anything about Dr. Laura's son, though.
Well, she forced him into the military. She wanted him to be a combat veteran so she could claim, as she had recently, that she raised, that was Palin. Dr. Laura will tell you that her son went and fought, but her son also was a guy who, put such gross, hideous, racist and homophobic and violent images on a website that the military, what'd they do, Kathy? They let him go, or they kicked him out, gave him a discharge. So I think offspring of Dr. Laura is a classic example. Look at the kids of, a couple of them, Sarah Palin. I mean, I don't, of course we can say the same thing about left-wingers. So I don't know what to say about that. I've often thought, though, that I feel sorry for the children of these extreme right-wingers who are so eaten up. Everything they say is a lie. Everything they say is deceptive. And they don't turn it off when they go home. And I just wonder how these kids are able to cope with reality, having parents, whose whole reason for existing is to spread lies and deception across the country. I don't get that.
Well, I also wonder, you know, because I do have a child who's just 10 years old, my daughter, and, you know, the opportunities for me to be successful. I'm 34 years old. I went to college. I have 2 degrees. I have a pile of student loans. I'm unemployed right now. You know, all of these different things. My opportunities have been limited exponentially, and I just wonder, for my daughter, after all of these destructive monsters have wreaked havoc all across the globe. I mean, what's going to be left for any of them to have, for anyone to have left? There's not going to be anything left. You know, destroy, rape and pillage the entire world, and then. If you survive, what's going to be left for the people who are doing the pillaging?
You know, Michelle, that's something, you have a 10-year-old, I have a 6-year-old. It's something I think about, and Kathy thinks about every single day. I think the only thing parents can do that have young children who are going to face this is to make sure that these kids are raised with a clear understanding of truth and justice and hope that they can apply that before the planet implodes. I don't know what else to do. Michelle, I got to leave you there. Thanks. Good to hear from you. I hope you're not, don't be a stranger. Trivia when we come back. Stay with us.
Be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You've got to be careful. You've got to be carefully taught.
Why are
podcast trivia here on the Molloy radio program. All you have to do is answer the question correctly and you win a 1-year subscription to Molloy podcast downloads, commercial free, a retail value of $59.40. It works out to about 25 cents a program, which explains the relative value of this show. Let's start with Steve, who's in Los Angeles. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you ready to do podcast trivia?
I am.
Okay. Are you nervous?
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Music, if you would, maestro. Teabagger darling Christine O'Donnell will be the Republican candidate for Senate in Delaware this November. What prominent Republican said he was unimpressed with the unemployed 41-year-old virgin calling her nutty and unelectable? Was it A, Rush Limbaugh, B, Karl Rove, C, Pat Robertson, or D, Dick Cheney?
You know what, Mike? I'm going to say B.
B?
Correct.
You're absolutely right. Karl Rove. All right.
Awesome.
In fact, Karl Rove has not been coy about his concerns about O'Donnell's background, the legitimacy of her college degree, how she supported herself for 5 years and why her home was foreclosed and why she evaded federal income taxes. I don't know what Rove is trying to do, but you're absolutely right. All right, let me put you on hold. Kathy will get the particulars, and congratulations, Steve. You will now be able to enjoy the magic of Molloy program commercial-free downloads. Speaking of Christine O'Donnell, I want you to think about something for a second. Surely you've read the novel 1984, and if you didn't, maybe you remember when Kathy and I read the entire damn thing on the air back during the Air America days over the course of, what did it take us, about 3 or 4 months, I guess. But you remember Julia? Do you remember how Winston Smith met Julia? It was right after a junior anti-sex league rally. Remember that? And the members of the Junior Anti-Sex League, of which Julia was one, the members wore a red sash. Do you remember that?
This Christine O'Donnell reminds me of Julia in a contemporary way, not in the way, in that bleak totalitarian society that Winston Smith and O'Brien and Big Brother and everybody existed. But this assault on sexuality, assault on orgasm. I mean, where have we heard this before, right? During one of the torture sessions when O'Brien is working over Winston Smith with electroshock, telling him, O'Brien tells Winston that this is going to cure him of his insanity, which is more or less what our torturers told people at Guantanamo. And Winston's insanity was his manifest hatred for the party, Big Brother. In long, complex conversations where O'Brien explains the inner party's motivation, and it was power as an end unto itself. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, what is Rupert Murdoch looking for? Well, he doesn't want, maybe he does want to run telescreens in your house, but power as an end unto itself. And how do you get that? It's achieved by abolishing, among other things, the orgasm and the libido, thus eliminating obstacles to loving Big Brother. And in 1984, INGSOC, the system of government, contemporarily, if that's the word, it would be this corporate murderous capitalism that's existing now. So what Big Brother and INGSOC wanted was a orgasm-free, libido-deadened, anti-intellectual society with no art, no literature, no science, to distract from devotion to the party. Remember? I mean, my God, when I or anyone else make references to 1984, these are not gratuitous throwaway little references like, oh, that reminds me of 1984. There was specific stuff in Orwell's writing that is coming out right now, but that junior anti-sex thing. Also, during one of the torture sessions, when O'Brien is trying to break Winston Smith completely in the Ministry of Love. Remember that? He and Julia were taken to the Ministry of Love when they were discovered in that little room over the shopkeeper's store. And O'Brien said, there are three stages in your reintegration. The idea being that Winston Smith was insane, his mind was broken somehow, so they got to reintegrate him. Three stages, O'Brien said. There is learning, there is understanding, and then there is acceptance of the party's version of reality. This is exactly what the right wing, so-called Republican, it's not Republican Party anymore, it's some vile distortion of the Republican Party. I know a lot of you agree and say, well, the Republican Party's been vile forever, Mike. Okay, I'll accept that. But this is even pushed worse. So, learning, understanding, acceptance. Now, Glenn Beck is already working over his mouth breathers. He's now telling them what to wear. Right? Oh, my God. When you take a look at Michelle Bachmann or Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin or now this Christine O'Donnell, Christine O'Donnell is going after the orgasm. Glenn Beck, just by his very presence, destroys libido, just by his appearance. And then when you listen to what they're talking about, I mean, nobody really gets into this aspect anymore. I guess we're not supposed to. But this destruction of liberation that comes through sexuality, through the expression of your sexuality. But just remember, Julia, in 1984, the junior anti-sex league, and they would get together in their little brainwashing sessions.
and talk about how that aspect of desire had to be destroyed so that the only desire left was the desire to please Rupert Murdoch. Oh, I'm sorry, Big Brother. That was the only thing that was to remain. You all remember that, right? Oh, my God, it's Paula in Bayonne, New Jersey. Hey, Paula.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Long time no speak, buddy.
I'm fine. I thought you left the country.
No. You know what it is? I'm gainfully employed now.
Oh, my God. Good for you.
Yeah. So,
I guess.
I have to get to bed because I have to wake up in the morning. But you know what?
What?
I'm officially announcing my candidacy for the 2012 election for the New Jersey's 13th congressional district.
You're serious?
Well, you know what? If Christine O'Donnell, as a 41-year-old unemployed virgin, can run for Senate, I, as a 41-year-old non-virgin employed person, can run for Congress.
Well, you can. You definitely.
I'm telling you. I mean, hey, I walk dogs. I deal with poop all day.
Oh, my God.
But I want to thank you, Mike, for spending as much time as you did with Damon, because you know what?
What?
NPR was taking my freedom, and I didn't even know it.
I know. I hope you feel...
Damn you, Diane Rehm. Damn you!
I hope you feel a little more liberated now. You got to break free from... they still call it Morning Edition? All Things Considered. It will rot your mind, Paula.
I didn't even know it. Thank you, Damon. Thank you. But honestly, in all seriousness, we can, connect all these dots together with Damon's call about taxes taking away our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion you were just having about Christine O'Donnell wanting to, take away our sexual freedom wanting to kill the orgasm or whatever. That's the disconnect there that they don't get.
I know, and this has been left out of so much of this. I think what is going on, if you look at some of these teabaggers at these rallies, I realize a lot of them might feel that they are beyond eroticism at this point in their lives. But if you look at them, I think it's very clear that what's going on here, just like in 1984, it's redirected energy. It's energy that normally would be expressed as sexual energy or active libido or whatever, and it's being twisted and curved and shaped into something else because the state, let me put you on hold a second, Paul, while we do a break here. The state cannot control your orgasm, right? They can't do it. They can't make masturbation illegal. So what does Christine O'Donnell do? She comes out as a representative, a prime representative of the teabaggers, and tells you that masturbation, i.e. orgasm, is bad! Well, hello? Before the hour, we're talking with Paula in Bayonne, New Jersey. Okay, where were we?
We were connecting the dots.
Oh, that's right.
Between Damon's call and Christine O'Donnell's insanity.
Yeah. Well, let me read something. All right. This is Kathy wrote this. Kathy, not this Kathy, different. This Kathy writes, I'm driving home minutes ago by myself with you and Damon, and it is laugh out loud funny. I just don't know where to start with this kid or the folks that he identifies with. He calls ready to rip and tear about loss of liberty and walks away with public radio. And you gave him five minutes to come up with that. I don't know whether to feel bad for him or loathe him. He does what he's told to do. He believes what he is told to believe. He says what he's told to say. He hasn't a thought that is his own, but it is his kind that unfortunately could be in control yet again very soon. I'm scared, very scared. He has no idea that his parents, quote, who can probably pay for their own health insurance, end quote, are likely people of the robust and healthy middle class that was back in the day. He's in sales, but if he lost his job, he'd just look for another sales job? Selling what? We make nothing here anymore. He needs a healthy dose of long-term unemployment to connect to the new reality that is life here in these United States. Kathy. Yeah, and that's the sense I got, too, that Damon, there's no point beating up on the guy. There's no point saying, you know, like I usually do, you ignorant savage, you know. I mean, there's no point in doing that. I've come to realize something, Paula, that so many of these right-wingers are terrified, and they cling to what they are told to cling to, not necessarily because they're evil and stupid, but because they are willfully ignorant and scared, and they don't know what to do.
And you know what, Mike? I agree with you. You know what? I have two sisters who went to White Stock.
White Stock.
I'm ashamed to admit it. The Glenn Beck's rally.
Oh, is that what it was? White Stock? I hadn't heard that one.
I didn't coin the phrase. I just read it, but I thought it was wonderful.
That's a good one.
Now, one is, you know what? Janine Garofalo used to talk about the mindset of the right winger, and one of my sisters does kind of have that, and we don't know what happened to her.
Huh.
But one of them is a wonderful person, a decent person.
Mm-hmm.
A person with whom, if we take issues out of the political realm and just discuss them as issues,
mm-hmm.
we agree. For instance, drug policy.
Right.
Or corporate malfeasance.
Right.
We can discuss them and we agree.
If you take the ideology away.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. We can discuss them. And I love my sister dearly.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know. I don't know how you do that anymore, though. Everything has been, and this has been done. As far as I'm concerned, maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, it's been done by this right wing propaganda that has blanketed this country for the past 25 years without let up. This media propaganda. That's why I believe this, that everybody is in such an agitated state. You know, back in the 60s, when a lot of the movement people were in the streets or taking over university offices or trying to shut down corporations or throwing their bodies in front of a nuclear reprocessing plant. There was not this attitude of that's out there now. The hippies, the activists, the anti-nuke people, the peace and freedom people, they were never vicious, mean bastards who just wanted to, force everyone to accept their ideology. They were working for a greater good. Nuclear power is destructive. War kills things. Poverty makes people die. But this so-called activist teabagger movement, what are they about? I mean, they're about oppressive power, centralized power, and yet they use the language of Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez or Fidel Castro, for God's sake. They take the language, but what they're about is a form of totalitarian control that is scary.
Well, what I think it is, honestly, is they take, first of all, the foundation was laid, what, decades ago?
Right.
My one sister, the one who's normal, was brainwashed by Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
The other one, we don't know what happened. It's a birth order thing. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Even the one, like, when we discuss, like, God, where'd she come from?
Uh-huh.
Even the other right winger is kind of like, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, she's just, that's just like a, I have to remove her from the equation because she's some weird kind of outlier.
I got you.
But what it is the thing is they have their legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
And I'll bring this back to Damon, where, you know what, you can tell Americans that they're severely undertaxed.
Right.
But when you think about what we get in return for our taxes, we're really not.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
we pay all these taxes and we get nothing back for them. Yeah, there's police officers and stuff like that, but you know what? We don't have health care. So not only do we pay our income taxes and our FICA taxes and all that, but out of our incomes, we have to pay our health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even that, if we lose our job, that's gone.
That's right.
We're on our own, and God forbid, even if we have it, if there's some kind of catastrophic health crisis, and you're dead.
I hear you.
I mean, God forbid you have a heart attack, and I have another one of our, I'm one of six.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were good Catholics.
Yeah.
You know, our oldest sister back in 2008, in February of 2008, had surgery to repair a dissected aorta.
Oh, my God.
That's what killed John Ritter.
Yeah.
And she's still, like, she's alive, which is a miracle, and I'm an atheist, and I'm saying it's a miracle.
Mm. Well, atheists can have miracles. Hey, Paula, you know what? There's the music. I've got about 20 seconds to bail.
All right. Well, you know what?
What? Listen, have a great weekend, Paula.
Thanks,
all right?
You too, Mike.
All right, take care. And Kevin Kenny, you have a great weekend too, wherever you are. Keep it lit, Truth Seeker. I'll see you Monday night. Wake up.